Sorry.
We got over it.
I need it.
Any more public comments?
It's never been more clear that I need an assistant than today.
Any more public comments?
You sure today's not Monday?
Feeling like it. Feeling like it.
No more public comment? All right. Advocacy reports. Activities. The ADRC Regional Board. Cheryl, you got anything?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of stuff.
All right.
I'm going to give it all to you.
Run with it.
Okay. We're going to get an update on legislatures on what the ADRC does. ADRC Governing Board directors, thus, will meet with the legislatures Friday in Dodgeville, the 23rd. We talked about the Part D plan gearing up now from October through December, or the first part of December. The Elder Fest is the October 30th. The Alzheimer's and the dementia care needs, that was discussed, and about the needs of dental care for these folks, because a lot of dentists won't serve these folks. We also talked about caregivers and the pay that they get. That's a big thing in dementia, family care. Did I mention family care and IRIS? We talked about that. I don't know, maybe you can add some more.
Do we know which legislators are coming, Brady?
Just got the agenda last night, and I didn't even look at it yet. Okay. So I'm quite sure.
That guy that was representing, who was it at that one meeting?
It was Braden Dodgeville, who's the mayor.
Huh? No, the guy that was representing who?
Is it Fairfax?
No, Novak. Not Mark Lane. The
Novak, I'm sure, is going to be there.
Okay.
There was that guy that came to one of our other meetings. He was dark complected.
Oh, he was from.
Who was he representing?
Brandon Walker, Appleton, or.
I understand he really wants to come.
He represents Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson. Yeah,
federal.
He's federal.
There you go.
He's federal. Yeah. I think it's Novak and probably Mark Lane's offices that will be represented.
Well, what about the lady? I thought she was coming. I thought I heard something on TV.
I don't know. You could probably have some from Richland County, too, since you're doing it with Eagle Country. Some of their representatives would be different than ours.
I did go to Mark Lane's listings.
So I think who's up in Richland? Darlin? Is it? I don't want to say Darlin, but it's not Darlin. Or is it? What is it?
I haven't heard from
somewhere. No. What is the one in Richland? There is there used
a lady?
Gosh, I can't remember.
A Schilling is lacrosse.
Yeah, Schilling's lacrosse.
They probably dip down into Crawford.
Probably.
Well,
Travis.
That would be good.
I don't know if
Travis will be there, won't he? I would think he'd want to be.
Yeah, I don't know whether the actual legislators will be there or whether their aides will be there. Novak has been very interested, so I'm sure. And he's right in Dodgeville, so.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what their schedule is, and I don't know what their schedule is right now.
I did go to Mark Lane's listing session when he was in Lancaster, and that was pretty
Mark
good.
Lane will be at Elderfest as well.
Oh, will he?
Yeah, they called and asked for a table. So
one of the big discussions there was the highway thing with them and how much this is being put off. And
topic.
Yeah, it is. And where's the money coming from? And then the comment was, why are we doing things with the for the Milwaukee Bucks when we're going to have to do something else for the roads? And there was a little bit of contention, and there was so much other stuff in the paper that I don't even think Mark Lane's meeting even made the paper. I looked to see because
well, he was here when the courthouse, that dedication, Mark Lane, at night.
Yeah.
But are we going to break up into groups, do you think, on Friday and discuss with these?
I have no idea. I don't have anything to do with how that day is set up. It's Mary and Becky's.
It sounds like it's an informational meeting maybe for these guys, right?
Yeah. I believe it probably is for them to find out
what we do
out here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that take care of it, the regional meeting.
It's building relationships with legislators, I think.
Yeah,
we're pushing forward.
Okay, Elderfest. Anything more on Elderfest?
As I said, or as Shirley said, it's October 30th. The time is a little bit different this year. It's 9 to 12:30 instead of 9 to 1. That was a vendor request from last year. Several vendors had asked if we wrapped it up a little bit earlier, because actually it did kind of wrap up on its own a little bit earlier last year. So we'll do 9 to 12:30. Whitney Thompson will be there. She's doing a workshop for us in mid-morning on dementia, and just an interactive one, so that people who have questions, if they've got questions about caregivers or people that they're interacting with, they can ask Whitney some questions and things like that. We're full. We've got like 40 vendors. We did it a little bit different this year. In the past, we always used to do these big sponsorships, and they were kind of expensive, and we just started, sponsors kind of started losing interest in paying out that much money because everybody's budgets are tighter. So we did not do that this year. So we're not doing a lot of the table coverings, the things that cost the money when we did the sponsorships. We just provided everybody could have one, or they could pay for up to two tables. So we are full. We really literally cannot take, I think, another table. The building is full. So that's good, because we want it to be full. What happened last year was we had about three of our bigger sponsors who didn't use all their tables, and then the morning of the event we ended up with blank tables, and we don't want an empty table. So this way, all our tables, hopefully, unless somebody backs out, should be full. We actually did some waivers for nonprofits this year, too, and we've actually got them sharing some tables. So we do have a pretty good...
What do you mean by nonprofit? Which ones are you referring to?
There are several nonprofits. We consider health department a nonprofit. We're a nonprofit. But we do have some other, I'm trying to think who else was nonprofit. I think Centers for Independent Living is a nonprofit. There's a few places around that have nonprofit status.
Are you going to have the flu shot?
Yes, flu, pneumonia, tetanus shots will be available there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Health department, I think, is going to do it, and I think also maybe Shopko is offering them as well. And then there's going to be some screenings as well, different screenings available. We have door prizes we're going to give out mid-morning and then again towards the end.
What are you giving out when you come in?
Oh, it's a big secret. I'll have to call them together.
You mean I got to show up?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I want to get trampled to death,
you'll
though.
Well, don't come at the beginning.
Yeah.
You get trampled to death.
Yeah, I know. No. It's all very orderly.
Yes.
They were pretty good last year. We do have the radio station WGLR will be there on site as well. The ads are out, posters are out, so hopefully we have a good day. And it's the day before Halloween, so they like to come and get their Halloween candy.
There's my Halloween candy.
They do.
I was just at the State Auxiliary Convention, and I'm telling you, these ladies had sacks, and they didn't just take a handful. They would take the basket and just plain dump it.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how inconsiderate.
Yeah, they just don't go. But here, they're pretty much manned. Those booths are not manned because you're out at workshops.
Yeah.
And you just go and look at the displays of the hospital. I mean, they just took the whole
bowl of candy into the bag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything else on Elm?
No, but come out and see us. There is lunch, turkey dressing sandwiches, and barbecues. Our cook in Boscobel, Patty Wells, is cooking for us that day. So we have the sandwiches. They always look, I shouldn't say they're really good. I think they're really good. They always go over well, and I always think I'm going to have one. And
what's the cost of this?
I think the lunch is like $4. And you get salad and sandwich and
you actually can eat throughout the whole thing, right? I mean, almost. It's
pretty much.
Yeah.
We're having breakfast in the morning. We'll just have some muffins and coffee. and juice and things like that in the morning, and then we'll serve lunch probably like starting around 10:30. It's at Youth and Ag.
Youth and Ag. Again, in Youth and Ag.
Yeah.
I always hope for good weather.
Thank
yeah.
you.
We've been pretty lucky.
You used yourself in that extra pitch.
So.
That's a good place. It's big.
Which place?
The Youth and Ag is a good place for
it. We'll have it pretty well filled up. It's it fills up pretty fast. It I mean, last year I think we had almost 400 people there, so we don't get quite as many as we did probably 5 or 6 years ago. It seemed to be better attended back then, but I think it's just because more and more people work longer and they don't not always available. But we still have a pretty good crowd, and they all seem to show up at 9. So.
Yeah,
and they do show up early.
Okay, how about the Caregiver Renewal
Day? Caregiver Renewal Day is on November 6th. We already have 9 people signed up to go to that. It is in Dodgeville. So that's always a nice day. What that is, for those of you who don't know, is we offer it to people that are in our caregiver support program, that are taking our Powerful Tools classes, people who are caregivers for people. It's not for paid caregivers necessarily, although you technically could probably be a paid caregiver if you're getting paid through IRIS, but it's not typically for a caregiver who is at the nursing home or something like that. But we provide them with some respite funds as well so they can get someone else to watch their loved one during the day. And then it's just kind of a day of respite for them. We usually have a speaker. We usually do, last year we did a craft activity. Oftentimes we have like massages and things like that. It's just, it's a very nice day. And then they usually get an educational piece with it too. So kind of combines, and they get lunch. And they're usually very appreciative of it. It's usually a really nice day.
Just the support that they would get from each other
too. Yeah. And they kind of form a network, you know. I mean, like I said, we've got 9 of them going, but then they meet people from other counties as well, because it's all of our counties that participate in it. So, and this year it's in Iowa County. So, yeah, it's a very nice day. And like I said, we've got a good turnout. Ruth is doing a Powerful Tools for Caregivers class right now, just learning how to cope with being a caregiver. And, you know, you just don't realize the frustration levels and the things. And people don't realize that those are common and everybody goes through them. And there are ways to kind of, you know, help yourself get around that a little bit. But
I think sometimes the spouses just jump right in, and you know, you've been taking care of your wife, or you've been taking care of your husband, and you don't look at it as
a caregiver.
And
children too. I didn't. And when I was in a caregiver role, I never looked at it at that. I just looked at it as I was a daughter. You know, I mean, that's just what you do. But when you're in this business a long time, you realize some of the things you might have been able to do differently, or things you could have accessed earlier that may have been helpful. You know, so. So that's what we try to get across to them too. It's a very nice day for them.
I hope for good weather.
Yes.
Anything else there? That will go on to the aging plan amendments.
And I don't have any amendments yet. What I've found out, this is my first time with the aging plan. Because it's a 3-year process, I came on the end of it in 2013. Gail had done some goals, and I just had to revamp her goals in the amendment process the last time. What I'm finding out is that you submit your goals, and then it becomes a negotiating process with GWAR, which I wasn't quite as aware of. So we are in that process right now. I was hoping that we would have it wrapped up for this meeting and would have it done, but Jane hadn't even begun to look at ours. Jane Mullins is our GWAR consultant, and she didn't have as much time to look at it as I thought, so it's we haven't even begun to start it yet. I was hoping the process would be done.
When does it have to be finalized?
November 15th is when they will finalize it. So you will probably finalize it possibly after the fact, but for the most part, you've seen the goals. Now I just have to make them look like Jane wants them to look like, and Jane has a couple other ideas that we'll have to decide upon. Like providing transportation to things that I don't necessarily think we should be, so, or can, so. But, so we'll have that. And they're looking at the budget, too. I haven't even heard anything back on the budget. I mean, the budget doesn't change, and we basically put it in the same categories as last year, so I don't anticipate there's going to be too much in with the budget that will need to be different either. So I was just hoping it would be done, but not the case. Not the case. She is.
Any questions on that at all? Okay. Approval of vouchers.
Hopefully you have those in here. I don't know. Yes, you do.
Okay. Anybody see anything there that...
I don't think we've had anything...
No major vehicles?
It's been... we'll get there in my report. You don't even want to know. You don't want to know. No, these were all... And I am... You know, with Crystal being gone right now, I am doing vouchers and I am doing payroll. And so, yes, I do apologize for if I seem scatterbrained. It's really just overextended right now. I don't have quite enough hours in the day these days.
So we're well within budget. This is probably
what you're going to notice probably, and I was talking to Nancy about it. You're going to see some line items that are going to be over budget and possibly over budget by a fair amount sometimes. And I want her to take a look at this because we're trying to get line items back, like putting things in the categories where I think they need to be and Nancy thinks they need to be and not where they've necessarily been in the past. So we're still kind of working through that. And it's been a learning curve for Crystal too, knowing where to put things, because when she looks back, they may have always been put in this category, and that's not where Nancy and I think they need to be. So for a while or through this year, I think you'll see some line items that might look overspent, but the budgets overall should not be. And she's going to come out, Nancy and I, and take a look just to see if she thinks we're putting them where we need to be, because I do have some questions about a few things. And then if we need to, we'll do some journal entries back and back anything out that she thinks needs to be moved. But it's just going to take a while until we get things where we want so I can have a budget that I look at that's mine. You know, it's been a little bit difficult. But
Are the salary things with the county all settled now?
I will. Pretty much.
Are the salary things with the county?
The budget.
Is that all settled now?
Yes. 1.5%
was put into the budget.
1.5%?
That was 3 years.
No.
One year. They always do 1 year at a time?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have been lately.
We had two in the city board to go through this year. I messed that up.
There, when I first got on, we were doing 2 and 3 years at a time. But here lately, we're back to
three. Yeah, so, I have to go with that every year.
So when you do 2 and 3 years, is it an accumulative, like a 1 point, would be a 1.1 this year, 1.1 next year, the 1.1 next year?
Back then, I started off at 3. You might wind up in the third year. You only got the 1.5. You started off with 3 on the first year.
Oh, so it could have
break it down.
It could have gone down.
Increased down.
Okay.
But here lately, we've been doing 1 year at a time.
1 year at a time. So you got to go through the whole process every year.
Next budget season, we'll rattle our brains to go through it again.
Budget is, I mean, they review the budget every year anyway. So
was there less money coming into the county that makes that negotiable every year? Or
always less money. Never more part.
It depends on your sales tax, right? I mean, you get your sales tax money, and then it also depends on what's Nancy I can't think of the term for it now. She's always quoting the net new construction costs or something like that. It depends on that, how much money you get.
Well, I know one of the things at that meeting with Markline that was said by a person who was there said, I don't need my taxes to go up, but I also don't need them to go down. $6 back to me is nothing for what we're losing. And this individual was making it very clear.
I think the bigger thing is we can't just go out and ask for people to pay more taxes anyway because we're within a limit.
Well, that's what
limit.
I wondered.
But budgets haven't changed so much. At least, like for us, the numbers aren't changing so much, but the costs are rising. So we've got higher food costs, we've got higher insurance costs. You know, so we had to redo the county had to look at doing the insurance differently this year in order because the insurance costs are just skyrocketing for health insurance.
We got to hope your employees stay healthy and stay on that deductible.
So that's where we're not seeing budgets well, they're not getting bigger, but they're not necessarily getting smaller. The problem is the budgets are staying kind of stagnant and the costs are still rising. So then
well, that's
have,
everybody's home budget
yep.
as well.
So
more
they
more money
redid,
coming in the front door.
They did
it's
a higher deductible
the
with the insurance this year. The county's taking on the risk of a higher deductible. So it'll be interesting to see, but it did lower our insurance costs by
we left the employee's deductible where it was at.
Right.
The county picked up the big deductible.
Right.
It was $4,000 on an individual and 10 on a family.
Family. Yeah.
But we left theirs at $5,000. That's what I say. I hope our employees stay healthy.
But I mean, that's done based on you know your information that you have too.
Well,
it's not
yes.
on a whim.
Yeah.
So
we have to.
Show on past experience that we haven't used those. So.
We were having trouble passing that 9% increase in health insurance on again.
Well, yeah. See, the state wants to go to a self-funded program.
Yeah.
Is that anything the county would look at or no?
Gotta get more information out.
That's good if
okay.
it works, and it's not good if it doesn't.
Well, yeah. If you have the first 2 or 3 years of self-insured, you're pretty well set.
Yeah.
But if you have a lousy year into any one of them 3 years, you can be
in trouble.
In trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was that one state insurance program on, what was it? It's in trouble now. We're losing it. I forget what the name of it was, but anyway, we've done it through the state. They haven't kept up and haven't paid attention to it. Now they're way in the hole. Mm-hmm. So they're going to drop everybody.
Does the county have, like the cities have league municipalities that we belong to, and that's where we insure through? Does the county have something the same
we
thing?
We could, yes.
I know there's a towns association.
Yeah. And we could
insure
through Central or Birdwell. Yeah. I can't think of the name of it now, but we get it. They do have an insurance program.
Yeah.
Basically, we've become self-insured.
Yeah.
I just always ask that because of the employees that you have here
well,
as well and how they all
less
fit
that you have
into
to pay
the
on
picture.
They cut the board, half the board.
Yeah, but that didn't make any difference.
That's,
well,
that was
and
a
the
our per diem went up.
Yeah.
It did.
Oh, yeah.
But the department heads all get together and they meet. We've probably met about three
you know,
times.
Looking at things, boy. Look at half of those people don't get insurance now because they aren't workers.
There's only one or two people on the county board that have insurance.
Through the county.
They kept the old.
Through
yeah.
the county, and both of them, both of them people had heart problems.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
at that time they couldn't get, well, they couldn't get them, so they stayed on the county insurance.
Yep.
But they pay the full premium.
They pay the
he doesn't pay
premium.
No.
Oh.
Right.
No, no.
Yeah, that was a lot of smoke in that.
Yeah,
yeah, there
people
was.
Reducing
that.
Board is going to save all that money. And
so what happened?
It wasn't true.
No.
Well, a little bit it would have saved
well,
if they
yeah,
paid
you
the
were an outsider looking in. That's
what happened there was that the people who were going to that, they figured out they were losing their insurance, so they figured out that they were going to be a month or certain figure.
Because that's of interest to me.
There was no losing.
Just make sure I catch them.
All right, I got to bring us back to the vouchers.
Yeah.
We need to, anybody see anything on that or making a...
I'll make the motion to approve the vouchers if you didn't have a motion.
I didn't have one.
Okay.
I'll second it.
And Steve makes it, Shirley seconds it. Any further discussion? Hearing none, everybody in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Okay, passed. Financial report.
About that too. That's
basically, I just had some questions, and I this is, might not be the appropriate time, but the nutrition, is that now or later?
You can do that as part of my reports, yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll wait till then. Anything on the financial report? Anybody have anything there? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Sure.
Stevens. What, a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Passed. All right, into the reports.
So, what was your question?
My question is, now this is a little different again.
It is, well, this is the LEAN project that Nancy, Crystal, and I, and all the nutrition managers have worked on. So this is coming from Nancy.
So you know it's good,
Lester. We're still
Did we have a pause.
It's still a work in progress. You know, we're still trying to figure it out a little bit and make sure that it works for us. But it's essentially, again, the same as what you've seen, the number of meals ordered. If you just kind of look at under meals served, year-to-date is your congregate numbers, your month-to-month numbers, and then the individual numbers for the meal sites. So.
Well, I look at Dickeyville is 60.
Dickeyville only operates one day a week.
One day, all right, that's one day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what that four up there means, right?
That it means,
have one day each week.
Yep.
So,
if you look at, we've served about, and this one is August, so if you're looking at, we're serving about 6,700 meals in a month.
And most of them are eligible.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. The only ones that typically are not eligible are some family care people that they're being paid full cost by family care. They may have a few people that that are disabled and under 60, but then they're paying the cost on that.
So if you look at the whole thing, are the meals? I mean, are we not making money, but are we holding our own? Are we losing money?
Well,
is that a good question?
You can't make money on meals. You're not making any money.
But
and quite frankly, it's the most expensive. It's the biggest program we run, and it has the most county money in it. We don't get enough money from the state by any way, shape, or form that would cover the cost of this. The county levy money.
For what you have to pay to have the meals come in, what you get for them to come out way behind.
So if you look, the nutrition program on the finance report, the budget is $750,000 for meals. And if you want to look at our revenue...
No, we don't.
Yeah. I mean, by far, it is where the majority of our county levy money goes to. Oops, where's my revenue one?
Does that ever become a... Anybody else have questions? But does it ever become a topic of confrontation with your county?
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. Every time we go somewhere else for meals, the price always goes up. It never goes down. It's just... They're making money out of the people that are making the meals for us. They're doing great. But you can't charge them. What is the cost of our meal for our cost?
The donation cost is $350.
Right,
but
if we
took the overall expenses, it's about $1,005.
That's what I thought it was. And it was over.
And that's where if I were to order one, I would pay $1,005.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually not, because you're over 60, so you can...
Oops!
Oh, I get subsidized? Really?
You can pay whatever you want.
Sure.
The suggested donation is $350.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's a losing proposition. It's a service provided, is what it is.
Well, it's so needed.
Because if you paid the full price, you go to a restaurant and eat cheaper.
I don't think there's probably anywhere in the state where it's not... The biggest input of, in terms of these social programs for seniors, that's where the county puts the money, and that's the majority.
And most of these programs are through the ADRC.
ADRC or age, they're actually not through the ADRC. They're actually through our aging unit side, which comes from GWAR, because we have two funding streams. We have the ADRC funding stream, which comes from the state. Then we have the other aging plan, which is Older Americans Act money, which trickles down from the feds through the GWAR. And GWAR is the Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging Resources. They in turn then allocate it to us. So it comes through the aging programs. We happen to be an ADRC that also has an aging unit here. Like in La Crosse, ADRC is on one side of town, aging unit's on the other side of town. So it's run through the aging unit in La Crosse and not the ADRC. But it is, it does go down to the counties. It's expected that the counties will offer things like this.
It'd be interesting to know what the people who prepare the meals for us, what it actually costs them.
Well, we contract, the meals that we contract, like with at UW-Platteville, are running us about $65,475 a meal.
So it's a 3.5 donation. You're losing, but you're not losing that greater.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If we get the $350 donation. Yeah. Now, the other thing is I think what you see, and part of the issue is that, you know, with the fact that not as many people come to the meal sites, and we've talked about that numerous times, that there's numerous reasons. I think also, though, you see a lot more of them that do come are, you know, there probably is more that maybe aren't on the higher income, you know, spectrum. And I don't want to say that entirely because there's a lot that are too, but you want to attract. I mean, GWAR actually states, and Older American Act states, that we try to serve the economically disadvantaged first and try to really, you know. So if you do that, your income donations are probably not going to be as high.
Well, see, that's where I was looking at this line. Thank you. This is would be the average cost that people are paying,
right?
Correct?
Right.
So like in Cuba City, they're averaging $1.77.
Look at Lancaster.
Yeah, that looks surprising.
$1.20.
Yep.
Whoops.
Now, if I wanted a meal, could I call in the day before and order and go down there and pick it up and take it home?
We're not necessarily supposed to do takeout. We do it when we need to do it. We're not supposed to do it that way. You're either supposed to either qualify as a home-delivered participant, in which case we deliver it, or congregate and come. There are cases, though, where we do allow people to take it up. We've got, for instance, we've got a gentleman who has some medical issues. He's not necessarily homebound, but he's got some medical issues that make him not want to eat at the congregate site because it's just not... It would be embarrassing for him. So he does pick up his meal. So we do allow that. Technically, we aren't supposed to necessarily allow a lot of takeouts. But in those kind of cases, we do.
If you had someone at home.
And if it was you, Shirley, I'd probably say, yes, give it to Shirley.
Well, I didn't know that.
So he's technically not homebound. He can get out.
Right.
So he doesn't qualify for home delivery.
Right.
I see.
Right. Yeah, but and that's kind of an exception. For the most part, people usually either qualify as a home delivered or as a congregate, but they really don't want them to take them out.
In that case, use common sense or just let him do it.
But if you had someone at home that, you know, you were taking care of, you couldn't get them there,
and
could get a meal for yourself and for them.
And actually, if you've got a spouse at home who is homebound, and you want to get a meal for them, you actually qualify for that home-delivered meal, too.
Oh.
So you could have one delivered to you and your spouse. Now, occasionally, again, what happens sometimes is, like, maybe a couple has signed up for meals tomorrow and one of them ends up being sick and can't come in. Then that spouse may take that meal home to them. And, again, we would allow that to happen. But we have to be very careful because of food safety. We can't always ensure that meal is going to go right home, you know, and get properly either consumed or refrigerated. So we have to be careful with that. That's why they're a little leery on the takeouts, because we lose control after it leaves our site. So,
okay.
And if you read, I had to do the SERVSAFE certification, and you never hardly wanted to eat out again after you take that. Reading all about all the bacteria and contaminants in food, it was like it was a good week before I wanted to eat anywhere. It's amazing more people don't get sick.
So do you feel this is getting to be a more accurate code?
I think we're getting there, yes. There's a few glitches I've noticed. We're going to, Muscadet is going to get cleaned up because we've got a few in the Muscadet area that are going to have to be pulled out because we're actually providing meals to Iowa County. They're contracting with us, and I think those numbers inadvertently got in there, so I think I have to pull those out. But, yeah, we're getting very closer to more accurate numbers.
Well, you know, when you look at Muscadet, home-delivered meals.
What's also happening is that we're reconciling bank receipts with these records every month. That wasn't happening when I came here. There was not a reconciliation necessarily of donations and things like that with what was being put into the bank receipts. So we're working very hard on getting more accountability. So that we know the numbers are right. So yes, and since I'm the one that's entering them into SAMS, yes, I'm seeing more accuracy. The difference before was what was getting entered here was not the same as over here. So, but again, it's taken some time, and it's we're constantly refining it. We just sent out the new reports, and we had a little glitch that Nancy fixed, and now I have to go back out probably tomorrow and work with a few sites on getting those right. But it's definitely better.
Okay.
Definitely better. And eventually, once we get it, it should be leaner too, because, you know, it'll be everything. Right now it's leaner in the fact that it's all standardized. We did not have any standardization amongst all 10 sites when I came here. Everybody sort of did their reports the way they wanted to and figured it out the way they wanted to, and that was part of the problem with why I didn't always agree with the numbers. So
how is that working over at Fenimore now with keeping your supplies here?
Good. Good, actually.
And the same person,
mm-hmm.
there
Sue
was
comes
no
over.
Problem with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, actually, I think it's working out very well. Sue seems to be pretty happy with it. I think Ruth is happy with it. Cisco comes, delivers here. She gets it sorted out very well. It's actually kind of nice because if somebody comes in now, if we have a meal site manager walk in and happen to need something, it's here.
Okay.
So she doesn't, you know, they can get it if they're here on a day. So it's actually working out all
right. Basketball is all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Basketball is, you know, Basketball and Platteville are our two biggest areas.
Yeah.
And no surprise because they have those, you know, permitted sites there for seniors that make it a little better. But, yeah.
Any further questions on...
I should point out, too, and I don't know if I've said this before, but when you're asking how things get funded, people who are on food share can also use their food share vouchers towards meals.
Oh.
So if they receive food share through you know, the state, which food share is what food stamps are now called, so what you think, you know, if you remember that term. So they can also allocate, and we do have a number of them doing that now, too.
Do we look at these people that are going to be tested for drugs? Or do you want me not to bring that up?
Are we going to drug test them? No, I'm not. I do enough drug testing from drivers, so I'm not going to drug test food share.
I'm curious as to how that's going to impact food share.
I don't know. When it's been done in other states, to my knowledge, there has been very low incidences of people
right, but somebody
actually,
has to do the testing.
It's very expensive.
So what they gain, they lose in paying people
so
to
who,
do the drug
who,
testing.
Who's going
to
pay? Who pays for the testing? Do you know?
Not the ADRC.
And the state?
The state would have to.
I think they're...
Something else to drain it.
Yeah.
It's a point of contention with me every time I see it on Facebook or something.
Is it not being done now?
Not yet.
It is not being put into.
They might catch some people in Milwaukee, Kenosha.
You know what? They will always catch somebody, but the incidences of it being very high across the board, I don't think.
It's going to shame.
I don't think where it's been done in other states, they have found that there's.
Well, I saw out in Arizona they tested something like 7,000 people and they found 3.
Yeah. Cost effective, huh?
Well, somebody's going to make money out of it.
There's a little bit of a, you know, this idea of welfare recipients. I think is still back in the past when there actually were more welfare recipients. And I always tell people, Tommy Debson got rid of welfare in Wisconsin a long time ago. You still have some social programs, yes, and that people do, but you don't. I don't know of anybody actually living entirely on welfare for the most part. Yes, they get energy assistance, but you want to look at the numbers that come in for energy assistance. There's a lot of seniors. A lot of seniors on food share, and people don't realize that. They just think it's all able-bodied people sometimes that are, you know.
Well, that's what.
And I'm not saying there isn't.
That's what they want you to think.
Right.
You know, but
so they can cut the programs.
They're looking at what used to be in the past.
Yeah, they're I think look back to AFDC when back when there was the, you know,
money that should have been working.
The payments to, you know, right. Children with to families with dependent children, and that hasn't been around for a long time.
Well, then I see all these schools, you know, again that are the number that are getting free lunches. Because again, the family, there's no income there.
Yeah.
I had a question for you. Do they, you know, you look at the aggregate numbers of what they're paying. Does anybody ever go into those places once a year or something and talk to the people and say, you know, this is what we really need to get? Some of these towns are not doing very good. Can we get a help with that, get it a little higher?
I would. Well, that's part of my aging plan. That's one of my goals I might revise is I'd like you guys to go into those places and ask people what it is they think, you know. What I would like to do is publicize that, you know, the ADRC committee will be meeting in Blue River or something, and you have then the opportunity to come and...
We were going
to
do that. We
yeah.
did line
yeah.
cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd like to do it more than just go and sample lunch. I'd like... people then to, you know, if we held the actual meeting there where you'd have a public comment period so people could say what they need. The state is, you know, like I've said before, they're trying to figure it out. I don't think they're doing a, I don't think they have it figured out. I don't think they, it's like they're kind of shooting in the dark. They're trying to have somebody come up with something that's going to hit on, that's going to be real successful. I don't think anything has been wildly successful. I think you open a restaurant in Madison that is it's successful, but you've taken it out of a neighborhood that probably was more low income and now moved it over to a more affluent neighborhood that people like to go to, but is it really helping and does it meet the needs of people?
Well, I know you've had stuff in your
it's just
paper you put out, and I know, isn't there a card that just says suggested $350 when they pay and that?
I, you know, we ask for public comments from people all the time. I personally hear people tell me that they would just like to be able to go where they want to go for lunch. And I agree. That's
I know it's a guy should never say that, but I know for a fact there's people that go into the one basketball, I'm sure they do in all of them. People that shouldn't be there. I mean, they're the right age. But you
and
know, they're worth a lot of money. And I remember years ago there was a guy that went in there. He had several farms and was worth a lot of money, and he bragged because he went in and paid 50 cents to eat. And I know that happens. And that's
but
you've
got to weigh
right.
that with the number of people that need to go
right.
to
that. Oh, I know,
right.
yeah.
And
yeah.
Want it, then they
want
to attract
to,
both because
yeah.
they want it to be for seniors. But, you know, I just go back to it. It's a very old program. That's still running the same way as when it was devised, and it needs to change.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's an old anti-poverty program that needs to rise up to.
Yeah.
But when I see, like at the Montfort Meal Site, when we go and see the cars that these people are driving that are falling apart and they're nickel and diming them to get the repairs, they need that cheaper meal because
and
their money's going
absolutely and yeah and we absolutely have people that and you know we actually have probably the opposite too. We probably have some little ladies and older men paying the $350 or paying the maximum.
That shouldn't be.
That shouldn't be.
And
that's really interesting.
And there's also people out there that should be coming to the meal site, but they're too proud and they won't
get
a lot of that. You know.
And and those are the people that I wish.
Yeah,
some of the isolated
people
are the ones I wish we could reach. Because
people would pay the $350.
Yeah,
they would.
They would. Their last bet, they would.
You always find that.
There's no fix to it, I guess.
Those that got money don't want to give it up.
That's right.
They want something for another.
Well, don't give them something.
Any further comments on the nutrition? Or?
So I think, you know, the reports are getting better. We'll keep working on it. And like I said, overall, the state revitalization project is still going. They're still trying to, if they just have to me, they just have to loosen up a little bit. And I think, hopefully, that will happen. So, my report is, it looks pretty slim pickings here. I'm sorry, I didn't pass those for you. Those are the program reports. TRIPS program, again, you know, we're doing a fair amount of rides. Crystal has now been off for,
seems like forever. She'll be back probably in December.
Can I ask a question? I'm kind of unrelated to that, but when somebody is off on maternity leave like that, can you call them and ask them questions at home about the job, or is that illegal?
I don't.
Because I know another county department that they keep calling this employee at home, she's on maternity leave, and she gets calls daily.
I don't believe in that. I don't believe in doing that. I'll believe in doing that when he's on vacation. Unless it's something that, you know, you just absolutely have a dire need. Now, at the same level, I tell staff if I want to call me if something happens. So it can go both ways. But no, I do not. I don't believe in that. Pretty much, if I've had questions, I can ask, you know, finance and Nancy and Teresa can get me through anything I need. So
you can figure it out.
My only conversations with Crystal have been just, how's the baby doing and how's she doing? And she just, and I actually will show you a picture. I have a picture of the baby. I chose not to try to even get an LTE in here because by the time you get an LTE on board and you get them trained after 4 weeks, they're back in a couple and you just wasted a lot of time and energy. So some of the things that Crystal was doing, I had been doing prior to her being hired anyway. So that wasn't much of a learning curve. And then some of the other things, it's just easier sometimes just to do it myself. But it's the little things like sign-in sheets and recorders that I forget. I didn't forget payroll this week, so payroll got in.
I appreciate that, I'm sure.
The big things I'm keeping up with, payrolls and vouchers, so that's okay.
You got happy employees and nothing else.
It's the little things that I'm not remembering all the time. So this past month, with that going on, I also had a transportation grant that was due, and that was my first foray into that. I've had a lot of grant writing experience, and this wasn't anything like the grants I've had to write in the past, which was really good because I started it like on a Sunday morning. So it was like, hopefully it's not like some of the federal grants I've had to write. And it wasn't. It was actually pretty straightforward. So the transportation grant is in. That's for our taxi program. We have another transportation grant that will be due in December, so we'll have to have a public hearing before that, and then we'll also have to have an elderly and disabled transportation meeting before that as well. I think it has to be 1 month before the grant is submitted, and they haven't got the grant up yet, so I've got to talk with them about exactly when to do that. The bad news this week was after Make a Difference Day, where we got everybody to Make a Difference Day really well and got them home really well, I got a call about 5 o'clock or 5:30 from Diana, our bus driver, who was broke down on Highway 61 near the Stitzer turnoff and didn't think she could drive the vehicle any farther. It was making some popping and crackling noise, and she thought it was maybe going to catch on fire, so I said, yes, don't drive any farther. So we had to call and have it be towed back to town. And Rod's best, this came actually late yesterday afternoon by the time he got back to me, was that it's probably going to need a whole new engine. Yeah. It's our newest bus. It's got 87,000 miles on it.
Oh, my gosh.
I need a new engine.
Yeah. He thinks, and that was just preliminary, he thinks that something, it's in the cylinder. I know nothing about vehicles, so for me to even talk about this, it's in one cylinder. He thinks maybe something broke off and maybe hit a piston.
Dropped a valve.
So, okay. Barry, see?
Are those gas or diesel?
Diesel.
That's diesel, yeah.
Well, there wouldn't be a drop of valve unless a piece of the injector fell.
I don't know that it is diesel.
That's why I asked if it was gas or diesel.
That's right.
I think it might be gas.
Well, no, they'd have valves on, They would have. They're a different breed of engine.
Well, anyway, I think it might be gas.
I don't know that we have any diesel.
Either way,
you could drop a valve.
Oh, yeah.
Because they sit out. I don't think they'd start that good in the winter if they were diesel.
Won't you have to plug in? In the winter? You don't put them in the winter?
We don't have an extension cord that long to go all the way out.
They got a little plug on, hold the switch, pull the turn key, come down, they'll start right up. Yeah.
So he estimated, if it does need an engine, probably anywhere from 6,300 to 6,800. My tire also, and it, they looked at another, a used engine that had like 70,000 miles on it, but it was only about 500 less.
And these aren't like cars where you get a 100,000 mile warranty on the engine. And
this one actually did. It on a new engine, it was like a 3-year 100,000, I think, on the new engine,
so
I think he told me.
How close are you?
I
in a 3-year.
I didn't think I could probably authorize 6,500. I think thought we might need.
I don't know on these, on that one, no, I don't think so.
I think we're past that.
One day brought up the warranty. I was going to say, how close is the new motor?
And I haven't even had a chance to look into that yet, so I will go back and see if there's anything on that. I guess I highly doubt it. I think it's older than that, so because I've been here 2.5 years and the bus
was
bought before my time, so I think it's past 3 years.
Of course, it's our
maroon bus, which is our best used bus. That's the one we use the most. So we talked to My Tire as well, and they estimated about the same as Pig's. So Rod was going to look at it a little bit, but obviously, you know, it's a problem. So right now we are looking at the other bus that we have. The lift doesn't work on it properly. So I am having Mariah look into that to see what it would cost to get that lift fixed versus, and then we'll have to decide. So it probably will be on the agenda for next month. I couldn't get it on this agenda in time, and I didn't think I was probably authorized necessarily without board approval to do a $6,500.
You don't know what brand buses those are. You know, are they Ford, Chevys?
I think that one might have a Ford chassis, but I would have to go back.
What year is that bus?
I have it. I'll look. I can. I'd have to look it up. Yeah, it is not. Luckily, it didn't happen. We had Monday was the Orchard Day, and we had two buses going to the Orchard, so we actually borrowed a bus from SOC and took them. So thank God it didn't break down in the apple orchards on that windy little road, you know, with people. And I'm very thankful it didn't break down with any participants on it. We're very lucky to have that not happen either. So we will have to look at that. We do have, I think we've got 11,000, and we've also got a trust, and I've got to look into that to see, where is it? If I can find it. Oh, the trust isn't on here. So I talked to Nancy a little bit about that. So we may have to, I mean, it's a bus we use all the time. So we may have to look at going into the trust in order to get it fixed, taking some money out of there in order to fix it. Because obviously.
Sounds like a good business to get out of.
Yeah. Yes. Well.
But if you're going to fix it, you're going to fix it. There ain't no delay in that.
Yeah.
Get it fixed. Done with it.
Okay. All right. Do you think, and see, Lester, this is where I haven't even had enough time to look at this because literally I got the bad news late yesterday afternoon. Does it have to be on the agenda? Do you think we need, I was thinking in terms of what I read that it probably needed committee approval.
Gosh, isn't that uncovered under a regularly scheduled
I don't know. It just seems like
maintenance on things.
Big purchases. It seems like
that's not really
the board usually likes.
Is there a dollar number amount that has to be okay by the?
I was guessing probably over five. I mean, in terms of equipment, things like with the feds, it's 25,000.
It was on buildings.
Call the chairman of the committee.
I don't know about equipment.
Okay. I didn't have time to look. So here's what
what I'm going to do. I will double look, because I thought maybe there was like a $5,000 that I might have to get approval on. But I could be confusing my boards from prior.
Who do you go for bids for something like that?
Well, like I said, I've already talked to Pink, and we did talk to My Tire instead. So we've got a couple right there.
Is that for the lift?
No, that's lift we're looking at. I was trying to figure out, Mariah was looking into that for me, because the lift, the only two places in that I know of from my past history with buses, which is unfortunately I've had enough of buses and Head Start too, was DeForest and Atlas in Milwaukee. But I was trying to find out if there was anything like over
in Dubuque. There was a hydraulic place in
okay.
Dubuque.
That's
we used to take our hydraulic motors.
Do you by chance know the name? That's what I was having to look at.
Oh, God,
today.
No.
Okay.
I know where it's at,
so
but it's out there off of Highway 20 going.
Okay.
Might be able to Google it, too.
Yeah.
That truck place?
No, they just strictly dealt in hydraulics.
Yeah. Because I'm hoping that we could maybe get that fixed. That needs to be fixed as well.
It's a hydraulic issue.
So I'm going to...
Pretty much.
I'm going to see if I need committee approval. If I don't, I am likely going to take the money out of probably the trust or the money that we've had designated for repairs anyway.
If it's got to be fixed.
Yeah. And if it does need committee approval, then I may
have to
let
us know.
Because it ain't going to heal itself.
No. No, the good news is we got our, you know, like our major... This time of year, it's our orchard trips that are the big trips that we do. Now, we don't do another big trip until the light's down in Dubuque, so we've got time. We can make do with the other buses that we have. We really don't haul that many, you know, with the lift that often. If we knew we had to, we could take the smaller bus and, you know, we'll just have to make...
That's $6,000, that sounds almost like a gas engine. Diesels, you just don't...
I think it was gas.
Because
I think all of those are gas.
The last Kenworth that I had to overhaul was a cat engine. It cost me $27,000 to have overhaul. So that's why I'm saying I think this is a gas engine.
That's a big boy.
Yeah.
I think all of ours are gas powered. I don't think any of them are diesel.
I would suspect they're gas.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are diesel.
Whoever you get to do it, orders this morning.
Yeah.
So you have a plan of attack.
That's going to take a while.
So does that work for everyone if I do it that way? I'll either do it. Okay.
Well, you check on the other stuff first, though, too. See if there's any.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's on my list to check on. Like I really wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting that yesterday at all. So.
Mechanic can prove that this is the faulty part in the motor, even though the warranty's off.
You might be able to get a kickback on something.
I have a question on Part D. You are full?
We are, yes, on Part D. Well, we are, all our appointments are fairly filled up already. We've started taking calls very, very early.
Do you have extra people helping?
We do have, Linda is doing some, and Marcia is doing some. We have two people doing kind of the scheduling and running and doing the paperwork part of it that needs to be done. But we have, you know, we have a lot of people in Grant County, and we only have one benefit specialist. That's a problem. So we are trying to do, as people come and are still looking for things, we will try to help them the best we can, and we may be doing some, usually every year they run some lists and mail them to people as well. So we'll do as many of those as we can. But appointments have... As of Tuesday, we were almost filled. I think we had like two left. We will try to take on more as we can, but unfortunately, Marcia has some regular ongoing cases that she has to do as well. So it happens to us every year. We'll take on.
How do the other ADRCs handle that?
Other ADRCs don't have as many appointments in their counties. They usually can handle them because they all have one benefit specialist too, but they have a lot less population than we do. Because I did ask Iowa. And they take on some interns, and they do the same things. In some cases, they don't take on anybody that doesn't have their drug list in here. But, you know, if you look at Iowa County's got, what, 18,000?
Yeah.
Population, and we've got 51,000. They've got one benefit specialist. We've got one benefit specialist. You know. So it's a matter of almost three times the size. So it happens to us all the time. We are sending them out. I did ask Marcia to develop some packets for people because I wanted them to get something hands-on.
if we are simply unable to meet, you know, if we're not going to be able to get them in. So she's developing some packets that will be sent out that, you know, give them the Medicare number, because Medicare runs, the Medicare 800 number runs 24/7. They can contact that and they can walk them through this as well. Medigap hotline can also do that. And then it gives some instructions for Plan Finder and how to do that yourself as well. So what we are going to do with those people, if they think, hopefully some of them can work through that, is we're taking down their information, telling them we'll put them on a cancellation list in case we get one. They can do that, but Marcia can then also go in and check to see if they've been able to submit. So if we see somebody's getting close to a deadline that hasn't been able to get theirs submitted, we're hoping that we can do a follow-up phone call with them and possibly get them in if we know it's somebody that really needs to get it in. So the problem is we do have people that come in that are capable of doing it themselves that don't. And they fill up our appointments just as much. It, you know, it's the same thing as like the nutrition sites you have. You know, we have some that are, they just like somebody else to do it. And then we have some that are very, very needy. So we are taking those, and she's kind of going through that list. So if she identifies someone on that list that she knows probably isn't going to be able to do it, we're going to try to make sure that those get done. But we simply cannot, we don't have the capability of doing it for everyone in the country.
Would there be any way to hold just a like a meeting in here with a bunch of people who couldn't work it out and just
you
do
know
a
what
class
happens?
For...
You can. We've talked about doing the Plan Finder here, but in the past when she's done, and she's done some of those classes, this is the first year that we're not doing the weekly. What usually everybody does is when they walk out is they set up an appointment. Because they just...
It's mind-boggling. You know, I see that all the time, even on television. They'll tell you, go to such and such a website. Some of these people have no idea about the website.
Medicare.gov, but we have an 800 number. So we are giving those
numbers
resources
out
to them, you know. And Medicare, the hotline number for Medicare is, it's operated 24/7, and they have the ability to walk people through this as well. So I wanted them to at least get that, you know, get those other resources. But like I said, she then is going to be going through, because if we take the information she's asking for, if she takes down their number, their birth date, and some other information, she can actually then go into, I don't know what it is she's going into, Medicare something, and check to see whether they've got theirs submitted. So we're hoping that those people that we may have some concerns about not getting in, she can follow up with them. We're also hoping that as we get these done, hopefully we'll have more time and we can run some Plan Finders. Oftentimes, she just runs some for people and gives them the three top and mails them to them, like mails it to you, and then you go from there and choose. So, and we do a lot. We do a lot more than any other county, but we're a big county. It doesn't matter how many we do. We still aren't going to be able to do anybody. The problem is, and I've talked about it with Mary, I asked actually ADRC funding last year to see if we couldn't fund like a half-time elder specialist through ADRC funding, and the state didn't want to do it. They've done it in a few cases, but then they kind of backed off of it because the benefit specialist funding that we get comes out of Older Americans Act. Our disability benefit specialist funding comes out of ADRC. So ADRC's done it in a few cases, but they seem to be a little hesitant to do it. So I think we'll go back to seeing, you know, if we can't try to get some of that money again. But it's really, it's this time of year where we need it the most. We probably don't need it necessarily the whole year. We just need it now.
Sure.
So, and it drives me crazy. We literally did a lean initiative on it. We sat down, we tried to figure out, you know, okay, we want people to talk to a live person because I don't like this rigmarole with back and forth and phone calls. And I wanted them to get, you know, get an appointment as easily as they can. Well, I think they did that. Because just like that, we filled up real fast. So, you know.
Anybody else have any questions on that? Anybody have any questions on the director's report?
So, yeah, it's an issue, but it's an issue every year. So,
I just wonder if this Which Medicare B will ever switch or change? You know, because as you see that come out, certain pharmacies are pulling out of it, and others are hesitant to jump in, and at some time around the line, all of a sudden you're going to have like two pharmacies that you'll be able to use, period. Is it all mail order?
All insurance.
You know, and as soon as you get the mail order, you're cutting out your local people. Cutting out your local people. And even if you want to do it locally, you just about can't. All right, anything else to come before us? Do we want to think about going to some of these other places, maybe?
Yeah, I would. If you would, I actually want to write it into the aging plan. Because we've got the advocacy and the negotiations, I determined that maybe that would be a better route for a couple things. So let me have that conversation with Jane first, and then we can start looking at that.
Okay, well, then we're going to run into winter.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're going to run into it regardless. So.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. But it's supposed to have, everything says we're supposed to have a little easier winter, aren't we?
You believe it, right?
Oh, did you? No, I heard just the opposite.
Did you really?
Yeah,
I was going to say, if I have nothing else to come before, someone want to make a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
All favor, aye. We're
aye.
We're out of here.
Somebody told me the fuzzy caterpillars were a big